Yo. Yo, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Hello, welcome to the Wolf and Owl bonus podcast episode. Tom Davis is here.
Yeah, Romish is here.
We're going to go through your emails and try and issue some advice.
So this is Lisa's first week.
Well, I didn't let her look at it completely on her own because I thought it'd be good to scaffold it a bit. Do you know what I mean?
So you were like her boss?
I wasn't like her boss. I wasn't like her boss. We went through them together.
How are you like when you're sort of doing stuff like that with her? Does she sort of like respect you when you're, because obviously that is your domain. You're like, oh, this is how we work for the emails and this is how I do them. Was she like, oh, that seems, or was she like, this is a really awkward way of doing it? It'd be easier if you did it.
So basically what happened was, so how I normally do this is I'll open up two Word documents and I'll just sort of like start going through the emails and pasting them in. Some I'll put in for the main episode, some I'll put in for the bonus. And, you know, you sort of read through and pull them out. And as I was showing her how I did it, she just said to me, you know, this is like such an I don't know what your laptop's like, but my laptop has got 1,000 fucking tabs, like, so it's so messy. So like, as I'm trying to navigate through, I go, oh God, I've lost the document again. And like, you know, it's in with a load of other shit I haven't closed properly. And I can feel her sort of just getting less and less attracted to me because, do you know what I mean? Like, because you just sort of think, basically my laptop looks like, you know, the guy who stole the embryos in Jurassic Park?
Yeah, looks like his
desk. Do you know what I mean? It's just a fucking state. Do you know what I mean? So it was actually quite a chat. We actually both established that this would have been a lot better if she'd been doing this from the beginning, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Can I just also say the opposite of a shout out to people that have been, knowing that Lisa is starting to read the emails, going, hey, Lisa, how you doing? And all that shit, right?
Tacky.
Very tacky.
If you're thinking about that, doing that, please just, I think you know what to do.
What?
What a sweet soul picture.
Oh, fuck.
Has Lisa seen any of those? Or?
Yeah, she has. So you've managed to waste my wife's time as well as mine now.
No one's put them on the Wolf and Owl pod, have they? No one's added the Wolf and Owl pod with those pictures.
No, and I hope they continue not to, to be honest with you. Okay. You ready for some email?
You know, just quickly, this isn't an email. No, just to sort of say, I cut my toenails today. It's the first time I've done it for ages because I usually have
how
a
long,
pedicure.
How long?
I would honestly say probably about 2-3 months.
Oh my God. How long were they?
Quite long. It was like I'd probably have to go up like a shoe size. They were getting that long. But also they were starting to curl up a bit. What I really wanted to do is try and hold out until I could go and get a pedicure and have quite long toenails, and the person just really, you know, like when fields and I get like a belt sander out or something. But I just thought I would make them really, I've got something really, like a really great before and after picture.
But I just but hold on. But, you know, you're doing King Gary at the moment.
Yeah.
So you're getting changed in front of people and stuff and changing costumes. No. Aren't you worried about people seeing your fucking face?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I have to do it as well.
What happened? Did somebody see?
Well, yes, obviously for quite a lot of King Gary, I'm sort of derobed, shall we say. Yeah, and I noticed someone the other day, no one said anything, but I noticed someone sort of staring at my little toe. I genuinely had like a prison blade on the end of my fucking little toe. It was probably about that long at the end, like half of that.
What is that? First of all, Grandma, you've got to show it to the fucking camera.
Grandma, right? Okay, I'm gonna do it with this. This is easier. I reckon it was like that at the end of my toe.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I don't know what, that's probably, and it was starting to curl up. And then when we were in bed, like, Catherine was out, like
oh, yeah, God, this is so horrible.
So, this morning, and then, you say about the least sexiest thing, you trying to go through emails. I tried to be really cool this morning. I cut my toenails before we, and I went downstairs and went, just so you know, I've cut my toenails.
Oh, God. Just lying in bed, that poor woman is feeling your fucking talons on her legs.
Like Jurassic Park. But have you had a pedicure before?
Yeah, I had my first one just before lockdown. I've never had it before because it just didn't occur to me as something that I'd ever have. Do you know what I mean? But one of Lisa's mates runs a little salon. And so,
shout them out, mate. Shout them out.
I can't remember the name of the.
Oh, fucking hell, mate.
Her name's Jackie. She operates out of Crawley. I can't remember what the name of the salon is.
Guys, just Google Jackie Spa Crawley and you'll find it. But by the sounds of things, it's one hell of a place.
It is great. It is great. I wish I'd remember the name. So I went along with Lisa once, like pre-COVID, and I had a pedicure. There was a little bit of an awkward moment, I'll be honest with you, where she sort of, it was wonderful, by the way. It was absolutely wonderful, but I was having like a foot bath, you know, and sort of exfoliating the feet or whatever. And at one point she said, move your feet from here to here, sort of while I was still sat down. And I very nearly like kicked her straight in the fucking face.
You've got to be careful with that.
It was so difficult to avoid doing that. I wondered if it was engineered deliberately. I thought maybe it was like a prank by them. You know, because the way she did it is goes, she just moved in so close. She goes, right, lift your feet. It was so hard for me to not boot her straight in the mouth. And then, to be honest with you, it was then very difficult for me to enjoy the rest of the pedicure because I was so embarrassed about that having happened. I couldn't properly relax. But afterwards, my feet looked impeccable.
Mate, it's the feeling. The first one I had was after I'd been like working at festivals and stuff, and it'd been an awful sort of summer of rain and cold weather, and I actually had trench foot.
What a lovely experience for the for the person at the salon. I would have got this done sooner, but I wanted to wait till my feet were really fucking rank and had like a disease before I came here for you to have a look at them.
When I went in, because it was a rain, you're wearing like wet socks all the time.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not like you. I'm not fucking a guy who spent his whole life working in plimsolls. I've had to go out of graft, mate. Do you know what I mean? Fucking wearing a pair of Converse since fucking 1998. This is like, mate, I've been out in work boots, mate, still toe caps, so there's no breathing. But they did look at my feet and she shook her head and then she just went and got like a manager who did them in the end.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. But then since then, I try regularly to have my feet done. Mm. And it is just genuinely like an absolute blessing. And I fucking thank you.
When I was about maybe like 13, 14. I must have been about, 14, I reckon.
Yeah.
I remember my mum and dad were going, they're at this, they're at their friend's house and a load of like the Sri Lanka community had gone round there and there's like a party thing going on. And my brother and I were out and just fucking about and we're supposed to turn up to this thing, this get together a bit later on. My mum and dad said we had to make an appearance, you know what I mean? Because otherwise we're going to offend their friends. So a bit later on in the evening, we wandered over there, but it started pissing it down with rain, like absolutely tipping it down. We're walking over to these people's house. And we got there. When we got there, we were fucking drenched, right? And they said, I'll take your shoes and socks off because you're absolutely soaked. So I don't think I'd cut my toenails like maybe in years. Right.
Oh, Jesus.
Like they were like fucking, you talk about steel toe caps. My toenails had formed their own sort of toe cap. And I took my socks off and I sat next to a girl. And she, honestly, mate, she looked down at my feet with the same disgust that you would look at racism. It was.
Were you quite, what was your personal hygiene like back then?
Do you know what, mate? Like, it's such a weird thing because it's sat in such contradiction to everything else about me. Like, I have always been, since I was like a little kid, obsessed with personal. Like, you know,
I've got to say, this week you smelt amazing on set.
Are you taking the piss now?
Oh, we had to do a scene where I got very close to you. COVID, obviously, we've been both COVID tested, but I had to get very close. I got a whiff of you. I was like, fuck, man, this guy just smells amazing. Smell nice, such boy. And you, no, genuinely, and you've been up early that morning. I was like,
anyway, I'd always been like, I've always been properly on top of like hygiene to the point where, like, it's just weird. I think environmentally, this is unsound. I went through a phase of like having a, and there's no reason particularly, but like sort of having an early evening pant change. Is that a weird
thing? Yeah, I mean, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I
sometimes have a shower in the evening, depending on how I feel.
I do. I love that. I love that. I don't think environmentally we're allowed to talk about this, Tom. Because like,
yeah, but also, but we all, me and you are very, like, not just me and you, but our whole generation, like, Lynx has caused the hole in the ozone layer. Like, all because we all use so much of it. Mm. That's a fact.
Do you still use Lynx?
I have actually got the Lynx, the special Lynx Marmite that they did.
Yeah. So you've got that, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got that, yeah. I use it as a joker. Yeah.
And does it smell of Marmite?
You can notice. Do you want me to wear it? When are you in? Wednesday? I'll wear it Wednesday for you. See if you notice it.
Okay, but okay. Can I just say something? Can you not start? Because what you'll do now is you'll start fucking number one on the call sheet, start parading around the set going, Rom's demanded. I wear, like, you know how you like the sort of bully boy tactics you do whenever I'm on?
No, what I was going to do is put you in a headlock for a bit with it on, see if you can smell it.
Yeah. Okay, should we get to some emails, Mudgy? Okay, this is from Adam Harvey. We sort of talked about this in the last podcast, but anyway, doesn't matter. Adam Harvey, first off, Rom, you were solid on Ant and Dec, highlight of the show. I don't know why I read that out loud. We can cut that out. Let's cut that out.
Wow, no, don't cut that out. That's nice, man, reading your own praise.
I've been wondering this for a while. If you two were to have hip-hop names, what would they be? And if you had a rap battle, who would win? My money's on Rom, but prove me wrong, Tom. Love the part to keep it last.
That is a ridiculous question. That's literally like, who'd be the who'd win in a fight between us? Or who'd be the fastest runner?
Like, okay, what would be your two answers to those?
Me, for both of them.
Fastest runner?
Yeah. I would beat you in a running
race. Now, listen, in a fight, I'm going to tell you this now, you would snap me like a fucking twig. I've got no doubts about that, right?
In a running race, I'm deceptively quick.
What, it'd have to be a fucking incredible deception for you to be quicker than me.
If you want to do, and I will fucking throw down a challenge now, we can do it next week.
Okay.
You want to do it, right, so this will come out Friday.
Yeah.
So you're in at the weekend. We'll do a running race, mate.
Yeah, all right, fine. We will do a fucking running race.
100 metres? Have you got that in you?
I think I've got 100 metres in me, yes.
Mate, don't bite off more than you can suck.
Okay,
no, seriously, boy. Because the thing about this question is, like, I like hip hop, right? But that I'm, you know, Romesh is genuinely a very good like MC. He can rap. I'm not.
But
mate, we've all heard it. You're being that you can do that. I can't do. I've tried to do that, by the way, on a TV show. I did a thing where I'm obsessed. I like country music, right? And I actually like the countryside of hip hop.
Lil Nas X.
Yeah, I literally died on my hole and realised how hard it is to actually rap. Singing country music's kind of, you just sing a bit about heartbreak and stuff. I love that vibe, right? Love a bit of Willie Nelson on the flex, right? But rapping is fucking hard, really hard.
When did you do it?
I did it on a show called Live at the Electric a few years back, and the whole joke was we did a thing called Cunt Hop, which is country music fused with hip hop. And so I'd written raps and tried to rap along. And it was a live studio audience. And like every night I come off and think, I wanted to go and buy the whole audience a beer. Because I'd be actually pretty funny up until I had to do the rapping bit. And then that would take honestly about 15 takes in front of a live studio audience.
So here I've got a question. So every time... When you do those kind of shows, we have this in Ranga Nation. One of the biggest problems we have in Ranga Nation is the number of times I say fuck, right? It's a big issue for them. Not a big issue. They're very nice about it because you're sort of in the moment or whatever, but they have to justify fucks on TV, right? So for example, you know, they'll always give me a little reminder, Rom, try not to say fuck too much. Do you know what I mean? Not in a horrible way, but you just got to keep them down. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, like, you get complaints, right? There's such a thing as we start talking about earned fucks and unearned fucks, right? So like sometimes fuck will be in a punchline and it makes the punchline better and it's properly funny, you know, or saying fuck off at the end of like a really strong sentiment, it's the perfect thing, you know, you go, that is an earned fuck. Whereas throwing it in conversationally in the same way that the way that you and I do when we're chatting, I'd actually argue that you and I probably swear more when we're not doing this, even, do you know what I mean?
I try and hold down swearing. By the way, even Stan, who's like a close friend of mine, you know Stan, who big listener, he, who is a big, massive swearer himself, said, oh, this week's podcast, there was a conversation you were on, which had, when the, like, basically swore four times within a sentence to each other. I was like, wow, like, there's a part of me that actually thought, oh, wow, that's pretty impressive. But now I've started noticing it when me and you just talk in life.
I know.
I was standing there chatting to you the other day and then realised that I was like, look, in front of the kid actors, we're both pretty decent. But in front of other people, normal people, I'm like, that's a savage amount of swearing.
I know, man. But look, it is what it is. Do you know what I mean? The problem is I've got a much more relaxed attitude to swearing than other people. And also, I think it sounds worse from some people than other people. Like, for example, Lee Evans, right?
Yeah.
Lee Evans, fat, like, people, huge. One of the biggest acts this country's ever produced, right? People love Lee Evans. I love Lee Evans. And he's seen as, like, a family comedian. You watch his stand-up. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
He drops the F-bomb so much, but you don't notice it. Do you know what I mean? It's so funny like that. Whereas with other comics, you properly hear it when they're saying it.
When we did Murder and Successful Series 2, we used 70% of our whole series swear allowance on just Vicky Patterson. And she's an amazing swearer, Vicky Patterson. She's an incredible swearer, but she doesn't say anything without swearing. So we literally used 70% of the whole show, like the whole series, and everyone else was coming in and you're having to go, look, you're really going to have to, because Vicky's filmed her episode and we won't have an episode if we don't start using more of that allowance. If you go back and watch it, it's quite evident.
I always wondered that about Thick of It, because Thick of It,
oh, wow,
in terms of written swearing, you want to see swearing done well.
Watch
Thick of It, man. It's incredible. But I can't believe they got away with it, man. So much swearing in that show.
Also, the Scottish, like I'd say Bridges and Connolly swear so well. Oh. We've both got quite harsh accents, so... swearing sounds worse in our mouths.
Yeah, I think it sounds coarser coming from us. Do you know what I mean? It's a sort of, if you didn't know us and you heard us having a conversation on the train, it'd be the sort of thing where people would move away or sort of, you know, there'd be knowing looks to each other like, oh God.
And also, me and you sound a lot more stupid when we swear. Like, you think that we were absolutely...
There's a lot of things I think we've got in common. I've got... not sure I feel about it.
But I mean, look, let's get back to the actual crux of the question. So what... Romesh is a better rapper. I would definitely beat him in a fight, and the race is on.
Yeah.
What we should do is probably maybe have maybe some money that goes to charity on the sort of, you know.
Yeah, I'll give a fiver to charity or something if you...
Well, I was going to say 50 quid or 100 pounds, so.
Well, I was going to say like 200 pounds, so.
Well, okay, so 200 pounds it is, and we'll give that to Mind, a charity that we both love. So this is on. People, get in touch. We'll do this probably at the weekend on Saturday or Sunday. The running race is on. We could do it. There's a lot of... let's just see what the heat is on this race, because I know people are going to be interested. And I know, who do you think is going to win?
Alexander Murphy. Hey guys, love the podcast. Mum and Dad are obsessed with King Gary, and my sister, a passionate veganism advocate, is obsessed with Romesh. If you give Caitlin Murphy a shout out, she'd be thrilled. Hello, Caitlin Murphy. Now, this sounds like I'm about to have a go at Caitlin. Big shout out to you, and well done for doing what you do in this animal welfare charity at 18. It's great. It has reminded me, however, of a thing that went completely the other way last week for me on Facebook. I just want to talk about, right?
Okay, hit me
so
up.
So I'm involved in this charity, Free
this,
Shop.
I saw this. We talked about this on set behind your back.
Yeah, so Free Shop in Crawley, shout out to them. They do this thing for vulnerable families in Crawley where people who can't afford groceries and stuff, they turn up and they have, like, they go into a supermarket and they get this stuff for free from donations and stuff like that. So obviously charities are struggling, and I said I'd get involved and happy to help them out, right? And people, by the way, people are asking how they can donate to it, but loads of different areas. You know, if there's food banks and stuff all over the country, so it's a good thing to donate to at the moment. So, and any time, but particularly now. So anyway, I got involved with this charity, and they said to me, "Do you mind sharing stuff? Because it'd be good to get a bit of attention to it." I said, "Yeah, whenever you want to share a post, just let me know. Send it to me, right?" So, Easter coming up, they were worried about families not being able to afford Easter eggs for their kids. So they said, they put up a post. It's a photo of a load of Easter eggs. It says, can you donate? They've got three supermarkets in Crawley that were collection points. Can you donate Easter eggs to these supermarkets? And then they tagged me and said, Romesh, could you share it? So I shared it. I come back to that post a little bit later. There's a woman going, I can't believe as a vegan you would promote Nestle. Okay. Because there's a few Nestle eggs in the thing. And then there's another woman going, for someone that claims to be a vegan, you know, find it pretty disgusting that you're promoting dairy products on your thing, right? So I saw it. I saw the comments and I deleted them, right? Because I just thought, this is just a thing where I want people, like, I'm just trying to encourage people to donate Easter eggs, right? I don't want this to be a thing where, like, this becomes... Anyway, that is apparently the work... That turned out to be the worst thing I could have done, because what happened was is whoever I deleted and blocked has told her vegan network that I've done that. And so then my fucking page gets like not swamped. Well, it did get swamped, actually, with like vegans going, Romesh claims to have morals, but he's doing this. It doesn't matter that it's for charity. It's absolutely disgusting, exploiting animals. And then you get, and then off the back of that, you get other people going, fuck you, vegans. This is ridiculous that you're having it. And it, mate, it just went off.
When I said I saw it, I saw one guy early on, because that popped up on my Facebook page. And it was one guy who went, you have to basically announce that this is an advert.
Sponsored. You have to say this is sponsored.
Yeah. And you were like, no, this it's a charity thing. And then he went, oh, my bad. And then he's basically, quite a few people went, why did, you know, well done for apologising. And then he seemingly had apologized, but then put the boot in on you.
I know,
which I almost felt compelled as your power to sort of, because I was with Mark McQueen, who's who drives, and shout out to Mark McQueen, who listens to the podcast, and absolute couldn't live my life without him. Top guy, top pal. And me and him were like, wow, this guy's gone he put his foot in his mouth. You basically calmed the whole thing down. He said, oh, I apologise. And then he went in, he doubled down on what he was saying.
I know. He said something like, it was really lazy of you to not explain that this was a charity thing. And that's how, he's sort of saying that the reason he'd made that mistake was because of me being lazy or whatever. But it just descended into madness, right? And the thing is, I understand where those vegans are coming from. I do. I get it. If you feel passionate about that, I get it. What I would say is, all they did was solidify people's distaste towards vegans. Do you know what I mean? This is exactly the fucking reason why people immediately shut off to the whole idea of veganism and think, I don't want to get involved in that. It's because of people like that who fucking make it so militant. Mm-hmm. That's why normal vegans get the piss taken out of them, because of people like them.
Yeah.
What I would also say, though, is that I had shared a previous post from that charity and it had got like 200 likes or whatever, and this one got 2,000, so they actually helped quite a lot. So what I would like to say is, please do donate eggs, and, you know, can you donate some with extra dairy, please, just to fuck these people off.
Yeah, because if there's one thing you really don't want at Easter, is a vegan Easter egg. Haven't been bought one of those a couple of years ago as a mistake. I can tell you now that they're
and if anybody can find any sort of meat eggs, I suppose those are just the eggs, aren't they? I mean, eggs are non-vegan.
I was going to say, I didn't want to jump on the fact that, you know, you were on a bit, but that felt like my perfect time to go, they are just eggs, Romesh.
By the way, I saw a thing called armadillo eggs. Have you heard of them?
No.
Do you ever watch these American barbecue shows?
Yeah. Why would you watch them?
Excuse me?
Like barbecue meat. That's just like, it sounds like sort of like a bit I don't know, it sounds a bit pervy, like, because you don't eat meat. You just sort of sit there watching, saying you can't have.
Okay,
like a vicar watching porn.
First of all, I just caught a clip of this, something that had been shared on Facebook. Second of all, if I wanted to watch a... Don't make it out like I fucking watched snuff porn.
No, it's just a bit creepy. Like, that's
how is it creepy?
No, because, like, us meat eaters are sitting there going, oh, fucking hell. Just
okay, well, you stop watching gardening shows then. Stop watching anything with vegetables.
Mate, I'll tell you what. The moment you catch me watching a gardening show, my friend, take me out and fucking dig a hole in the garden and just throw me in it. You could have titch mask, mate.
I can't believe I called that. You can stop watching gardening shows then.
Literally,
you're not allowed to watch shows.
No, you can't even watch them anymore.
You're not allowed to watch farming programs. How do you like that? Vegetable farms.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to watch vegetable farms.
Yeah, you're going to have farming programs.
Anyway, so that's not what I meant to say. Caitlin Murphy, big shout out to you. Setting up an animal welfare charity at 18.
That is pretty cool.
Big up. Big yourself up. Now, so anyway, this person goes on. This person is Alex. Goes on to talk about tahine, which you remember I talked about last week. We shared a clip of it. The Mexican, I said it's T-A-H-I-N, but it's T-A-J-I-N.
Yeah.
Tom, first of all, before we carry on.
Also, just for anyone listening, obviously within the Spanish language, J is basically H. So that's why I almost got it wrong.
Yeah, thank you, Tom, for sort of backing me up there. What I'm going to say to you now, Tom, is I am actually ordering some tahine
right.
for you. I'm going to get it sent to your house, and we are on the next podcast. We're going to have a little taste thing.
Wow,
it'll be a nice little thing for
that'd
us.
That'd be
to
nice.
Do.
Yeah, what on the Friday's one?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be very exciting.
Anyway, this person has given us a recipe. I don't know why I'm reading out a recipe, but let's go for it.
Thank you, Alex.
So I used to work as a cook in a lovely Mexican restaurant near London Bridge, and would often use a little bit of, would often enjoy a little bit of fruit dipped in tahine. Here's a more.
Was it chiquillos?
It doesn't say. I'm literally reading the same information that you're hearing. So I used to. You sort of ask me a question as if I could now ask. I don't have Alex here with me.
No,
I'm reading an email.
Which one it was?
Okay. Here's a more savoury use. Still delicious. Pop a couple of corn cobs on the barbecue and blacken them.
Oh, I'm already with
bit.
Him. I'm with him. Yeah? I'm with him. Oh, mate, I already know. You put that. You put the
yeah, I mean, that. Fucking hell, mate. That's
that's what he's. Gonna... Is that what he's saying, though? Yeah.
He's stepping in like you're fucking psychic. Here's a recipe to do with tahine. Get the corn cob. Oh, stop there. Stop there. I know what's going to happen. He's going to put some tahine on those, isn't he?
Is it just tahine or has he done refried beans?
No, it's not. There's other stuff. There's no refried beans. Pop a couple of corn cobs on the barbecue. Blacken them a little bit to your taste until the corn is cooked. Using a food brush, apply chipotle mayo over the corn. Roll the corn in a mixture of grated parmesan, black pepper and tahine. Being that there is good quality, accessible vegan substitutes for parmesan and mayo, it's something that anyone can enjoy regardless of dietary requirements. Hope you give it a try. Now, here's my suggestion, Tom, to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get some tahine sent to your house. I'm also going to get some... Well, you can probably get yourself some chipotle mayo. I'm not fucking doing your grocery shopping for you. Shall we try this corn recipe next week?
That'd be great, on Friday.
Yeah, let's do it on Friday.
Let's do that.
Okay. And
I've
then we'll
be
come
careful
back
eating, by the way, corn on the cob because of that tooth.
I thought that's sorted out now.
Yeah, it is, but I love corn on the cob, by the way.
Why don't you pre-strip it?
Yeah, actually, I might do that, yeah. You want to eat out of a bowl?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
There used to be a corn on the cob place, actually, which Alex could have worked at by the sounds of things. Where you used to do all different flavours, corn on the cobs. It was one of the best places in at Barrow Market.
Yeah, I mean, this is very chefy. What Alex is saying. What I would say is, like, even if you just heat up some corn on the cob and stick a little bit of chili powder on it, it's fucking bad.
Butter,
whatever you want. Yeah,
that's just another thing you can do. Hit us up at thewolfandowlpod@gmail.com with your favourite corn on the cob recipes. Maybe if that would be great if they added on Instagram pictures of them to the Wolf and Owl Pod on Instagram of you eating corn on the cob, because that's always a funny thing.
Why?
It's just funny watching people eat corn on the cob. Videos are better, or boomerangs.
Yeah, don't tag me though. Tag Tom specifically.
Tag us both. It's unfair otherwise. No, you'll feel left out.
Okay. Hi, Rom and Tom. This is from Jamie Wright. I was watching Soccer AM this morning, and there were several adverts on during the break for Vanarama that I recognised the voice of, and it was none other than Tom. He did put on a weird voice, like he was selling Ann Summers products on it, so I'm not sure if he was trying to hide it was him. Referring back to a previous pod where Tom went on a tirade about celebs not using the products they advertise for, I'd like to know if Tom currently has a lease van, or has he just sold his soul for a pound note?
Love okay, what's his dickhead's name? What's his dickhead's name?
Jamie.
Right, mate. Number one, well done. You noticed it was me. So number one, I very much enjoyed doing those adverts. I'm what's known in the industry as a voice actor. I do different voices. That was one that, to be fair, actually, I really enjoyed doing the whole... It was a spin. It was to make a van's company seem sexy. But just quickly, if you're going to start throwing it around, my old baby, one thing I said on that advert is voiceovers and actors that we don't know is fine, right? But it's when you're putting your face and your whole name to something you don't believe in. So that's my first argument. But not also number two, let me say.
That's another argument.
Vanarama is the premier place to hire vans, cars, etc. Really helped my friend out of a spot this week. He was moving home, gave me a call. I said, look, mate, I've just done an advert for a company called Vanarama. Get in touch, see what they're like. He gets in touch. Namaste. Sort him out. So, Jamie, I would put my name to Vanarama. I put my body, my soul, and my mirth into Vanarama.
So, Jamie, I guess to sort of summarise Tom's two answers there. Number one, the hypocrisy is fine as long as you pre-announce it. That's the first point. The second point is Tom's clearly been paid to do another advert on this podcast.
I haven't been paid. Look, mate, I'm just saying, Vanarama is an incredible company. Really helpful. Of all the places, my friend was like, wow, they're really, really helpful. Couldn't do enough for him. It felt like a gentle arm around the shoulder rather than the kick in the teeth. That's Vanarama.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, Jamie. I hope that I mean, in a way, Tom feels like he's tackled it. If anything, I feel like he's reinforced your point. Okay, this one is anonymous.
Okay.
Hi, Rom, Tom, and Lisa. Now, just so you know, Tom.
Yeah.
This is actually quite. This one actually, we should probably give some decent advice to here, because I feel for this guy. I'm after some. Well, I say that is he doesn't want my advice. He's after your advice specifically. My son is 13 and over 6 foot. He's quite a self-conscious soul, doesn't like standing out in any way, and hates being so tall. I know both Tom and Rom had a tough time in secondary school. Do you have any advice how he can own his differences, particularly his height? What advice would you have given, particularly with what you two went through in your teenage years? We're not sure when this growth spurt is going to stop. So, Tom, any thoughts?
It's a difficult one, this, because it's such a, obviously very close to home for myself, but then, you know, knowing you, Rom, and you know, you went through your own version of that. But I think it's a real misconception, as people think of, if you're tall, you're going to have this sort of like, it's a confident thing, it's the thing of strength. I think I certainly felt the opposite of that. I felt you're already sort of almost physically making a statement before, as you walk into a room, before anyone even gets to know you. Physically, you've come in the room, people have clocked you, and they're always going to cast aspersions on you one way or another. I think certainly within a masculine environment, for me growing up, there was always that air of like a threat of like, you know, other you know, from school into sort of going to work to pubs, whatever, there was always that sort of thing of people like, well, you know, he's a big geezer, I'm going to sort of, I'll show him up or something. So I think it is a tough thing to grow up with. If you haven't got that confidence to own it, that came to me sort of later on in secondary school. I think my humour and being really self-derogatory got me out of a lot of situations and was the sort of key to that. But as to sort of if he's feeling self-conscious with it, I guess it's for you and your wife to really, I don't know, I guess it's support him as a person and sort of have a hold on quite how difficult it is. It's so hard, isn't it, to give advice, because I look at some of my school life, I look at some of my late teens, probably quite a lot of my 20s, and I'm quite sad looking back at it. You know, I remember being started on at festivals or just walking down the street and whatever, there would be someone who'd have a point to prove because you're tall. And I think I'd love to just sit here and tell you that I had some sort of recipe for, oh, this is how you could handle, this is going to, you know, I just think now that that became the thing that made me stronger, and it made me a thing that as a person was like, right, well, you know, there's no way out of this. I am this way. I've got to carry myself in a way that I'm proud of the fact I'm tall. I'm not an aggressive person. I just have to make sure. Yeah, it's finding those levels. But, yeah, it's a tough thing to go through. And I think especially if he lacks it, sports, the thing, but I was awful at sports. So I think if you're tall and you're good at sport, it really helps. I mean, I'm literally waffling now because I've got no idea what to say.
You know, the thing is, the truth is, it's a really complicated situation because, look, I've got three boys and our kids they're very different to each other. They're not, you know, they're not particularly tall or anything, but they are quite individual, the way they behave, the stuff they're into and stuff like that. And they get shit for that at school. And you worry about it. Do you know what I mean? And I remember, like, you know, the biggest thing I used to get the taking the piss out of for me by other kids at school was, first it was my weight when I was a lot younger, and then when I sort of like stretched out a little bit, it was my eye, you know. And I remember, and this, by the way, this sounds like I'm trying to make you feel worse. I'm not trying at all. I'm just trying to say it's a real thing. It's like, I remember we had to walk into, they were merging two science classes, and we're going to watch some film they're putting on, like, as part of a thing. And so you had this thing where we walked into the theatre where they were showing the film, and you walked into a room where basically there was a viewing gallery of all of the other kids in those, like, you know, as you walk in, like, right? And it felt really exposing. And I remember when I walked in, I must have been 14, these kids just started laughing at how, like, saying I look stoned with my eye and all this shit, right? And it's like, I just sort of basically got roasted as I made my way to the seat. And by kids I didn't really know. It wasn't like mates. If it's mates, it's one thing, do you know what I mean? But it's like people I didn't really know. And that stayed with me for fucking ages. And it's sort of, and the truth is those things can sort of define you in a way, you know, if you let them. But what I would also say is I wouldn't be a comedian now if I hadn't had if I didn't have a lazy eye. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying that your son's going to go on to become a comedian or anything, but what I'm saying is I don't think you can protect, you know, my kids sort of say things, and, you know, they're into certain things, or they dress a certain way, or they're very individual. And I think to myself, that's going to draw attention to them. But I think to myself, all you've got to do is back yourself to give your kid the values and self-belief and self-esteem that they can handle that shit. Do you know what I mean? And the truth is, you are not going to be able to protect your kid from every negative experience, and nor should you want to do that, because the truth is, it's all part of the thing that's us growing up. Do you know what I mean? And look, I'm not an expert. I guess what I'm trying to say is, you've got, I think I would say to your son, if I was in your position, that kids are just looking for stuff to detract attention from their own shit. Do you know what I mean? And if they're talking about your son's height, they're delighted because it means they don't have to talk about their own shit. And his height will be something that will be a virtue in the future. Do you know what I mean? And you've just got to hope that you instill in him the values and self-belief and self-esteem that he's going to be able to tackle all of that. Do you know what I mean? And so, you know, that's, again, I'm now finding myself waffling. But that's,
no, but when you talk about the science class, I remember going into secondary school and later watching, like, we were joking, but Shawshank Redemption. And when I look back now and think about secondary school, I remember, you know, like the first time you walk into the canteen or you're walking through the corridors and there's bigger kids. Because you go from like being like, you know, junior school, middle school, whatever, then all of a sudden you're into sort of, you know, there's kids there who are essentially young adults who are 17, whatever. And I remember, like, when I watched Shawshank Redemption years later, I was like, oh, I felt like Andy Dufresne when he went to prison, when he was walking through the corridors, like, as a fresh fish. And also, like, it was like having a fucking sign on my back going, right, this is the kid, you know, because I was really tall and gangly. But on what Romesh has just said, the thing that really, you know, sort of sits with me is that a lot of the people who I look at now who would tease me and sort of, like, they sort of peaked at school. And the sort of the minerals and the sort of fabric that makes you sort of like toughens you up in a sense and gives you sort of, they were winning all the time. So they had never really known what it is to lose or sort of to feel sort of a bit of an outsider. They'd always been in the in crowd. So when it came to sort of starting a job or going into and you're, I guess you as a person being tested, they hadn't ever had that at a young age. So at 18, 19, 20, 25 even, for the first time they're getting tested and they go, oh shit, what is this? What's this feeling of, like, you know, of not getting a job? What's this feeling of feeling like bottom of the ladder? What's this? What is that feeling? It's really hard to, like, anything. It's hard, like, if you take a sport up, it's hard, you know, whatever, you're going to be rapper, swim, whatever. If you're going to do anything and the later you take that on, learn a language, whatever, the harder it gets. And I think that's the same with feeling that feeling of loss or feeling like you're not good enough. But if it, all those things, I think, sort of mold into that feeling, those feelings as well. So the older you are when you first get that, the less equipped you are to deal with that feeling. Whereas I look at feelings now, probably where I've had bad gigs or I've not got things. Or, you know, when I started out in this industry, I genuinely thought, what's the worst that can happen? I've failed at everything I've ever tried. So my actual, as silly as it sounds, and I'm probably less like that, you know, because I've had a bit of success, you know, after I was 38. I genuinely was so used to going, actually, you know, if this doesn't work, it's going to be like everything else that hasn't worked and it's not going to kill me.
Yeah.
Because I've always had that since I was at junior school. And I think that's the difference. So, yeah, it will test him, but I think at the end he'll be stronger and he'll be a better human being for it.
He will be absolutely fine. And the fact that you're thinking about it now means that he is being brought up by people that are, you know, doing the right thing, you know. So... good luck to you, man. Do you know what? Let me just tell you something. Off the back of that, when I read that email, right, I thought to myself, I really want to talk to this person and reassure them. But at the same time, no disrespect to you and me, Tom, we are deeply underqualified to tackle that question. But at the same time, you do want to address it. Do you know what I mean? It's such a weird...
But you kind of... I don't know, we make a joke out of this. I really want to just say to this young lad, it is, everything will be all right.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing of it. You know, you worry, didn't you? You worry about youngsters. And you know, we've talked about it a bit recently on here when you watch, especially young men and how the dynamic works between them. And you think me and you joked about it, but when we were working with those kids the other day, both of us went, oh, we would be that kid. And that was the outsider who was worried about wetting himself on the day. And I was like, I would have been that kid. I would love to say that I'd be the kid who was great at fucking martial arts or the kid who was great at football, but I'd have been a kid going, you know, do you think I'll be able to go to the toilet because I'm worried about wearing my pants on set? That would have been me.
I wouldn't have even asked the question. I would have just pissed myself and then it would have just been really fucking awkward for everyone for the rest of the day. You want to do one more?
Let's do one more.
Okay. This is from, let me just double check. This is from Dougal.
Wow. You know, Dougal's one of those names that just makes you happy as soon as you hear it.
It is a nice name. I didn't feel happier as I read it out, though.
I just felt a little sort of ray of sunshine just hit my face as you said the name Dougal.
You are sat by your window, aren't you?
Yeah. Could have just been that. It could have been a little actual bit of sunlight happening just as you said it. But anyway.
Anyway.
I digress.
Boys, how goes it? Love the podcast. Now, full disclaimer. This email is going to sound like I'm throwing shade at Romesh, but please be assured this is not the case. And this is a genuine request for perspective on an issue that has followed me throughout life that I think you can relate to. Before we carry on, since we've been doing these podcasts today, my fucking MacBook has activated Siri about 20 times. Can somebody, it's just fucking activated now. Oh, I did say
turn it
Siri.
Off. To you said fair. Siri, but turn it off, mate. Turn it off. Get Siri is the most useless fucking thing
my God.
Anyone's ever come up with.
It's honestly.
How can
mate.
I help? Do you know how you can help me, Siri? You can help me by fucking off every Apple product that's ever been made.
I'll tell you what you can stop doing is stop interrupting me. And then when I actually do ask you something, be unable to fucking solve that request.
I've switched off the Apple Watch because it was the worst thing. You could be in the middle of a fucking whatever and you'd raise your arm and it'd fucking, how can I help you, mate? Do one.
Yeah. You say you can help me, Siri. Go fuck yourself. Right. And as I've said that, it's not activated. But it activated when I said perspective. Anyway, carrying on. Sorry, not to take away from Dougal's email. I have a naturally miserable face. This is not me talking now. This is Dougal.
I was thinking that the other day, actually, about you.
Pardon?
You've got like a resting sulky face.
Yeah, I have. That's definitely true. But sometimes on set of King Gary, I am actually annoyed at how I'm being treated by the production. But anyway... I mean that my default expression is somewhere between extremely unhappy and slightly pissed off. I look like I either can't be asked or I'm tired of everyone's shit. Personality-wise, this couldn't be any further from the truth. I see myself as a sociable and upbeat guy who will give anyone the time of day. However, getting people to give me the time of day can be somewhat challenging at times. While I'm having conversations, I need to consciously force my face into a neutral expression so I'm not inadvertently glaring at the person I'm talking to like I want to stab them in the kidneys. It's quite visceral. I've fallen out of favour with employers because of this. I've had HR meetings about my work ethic because I'm sat at my desk looking like my best mate just ran over my dog or running away with my wife. I've not been invited to social events because people thought I didn't like them. And I think in life, some people just took one look at my face and avoid interaction with me. I guess you know where I'm going with this. Ramesh, it feels like when it comes to naturally looking, you look like you hate the world and everything in it. Fair play for spinning it into a career. Is this a problem you've experienced over any point in your life? It would also be interesting to hear Tom's thoughts. He strikes me as a polar opposite with a naturally cheerful and outgoing demeanour. And imagine this opens up a completely different set of opportunities and invokes a different day-to-day reaction for people. Thanks again for the podcast. He goes on to detail, but we've got the gist. So,
I can jump in here and say my face isn't an anime. I have to really focus on my face because if I, my go-to face, my resting face is stupid. Genuinely, if I don't concentrate on it, I'm just standing in my own thoughts, I look like I'm a dog trying to work out a card trick. Oh, that is my resting face. It's just...
But in fairness, you look like a dog that's pretty close to working it out.
I will sit there and that is stupid, but...
I love that. That's like one of my favourite looks on anybody's face, your face.
Yeah. So I have to... Like, when we're doing this even, sometimes I'm listening to Romo's talking, I catch a glimpse of myself. And I actually generally think, why is he even friends with me?
If
we were sitting together on the bus, right? And I don't know if this is speaking out of turn. Like, if we were sitting together on the bus with both of our resting faces, right?
Mm.
People would like look at us and go, oh, look at him. He's looking after his big friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's really unhappy about it.
Be in a job for much longer.
I have had this, you know, I do have this resting sulky face, resting dick face, and it's a problem. I don't know if it's affected my jobs and stuff, but it has. Like for example, Lisa has had to sort of accept. I remember when I first went away with Lisa on holiday, like before we had kids or anything. I remember her saying to me, second day in to the holiday, it's very difficult to know if you're enjoying this or not. Just to clarify, it wasn't while we were having sex, but I have had that. And I remember I got asked to go and judge a new stand-up competition, like for these guys were trying out their first sets. And they asked me to go down and be a judge. And in front of me, the woman that runs the course warned them about my face. She said, just so you know, don't get nervous. Ramesh won't look like he's enjoying it, but he will be.
But let me just say, by the way, guys, I think that very, 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 very few sights as sweet as when that frown breaks into a smile, as it just has. But do you know what? Like, I will work so hard in a thirsty, sad, pathetic way. Sometimes I'll look across the room when we're filming or we're together in some sort of scenario, and I'll look at sort of that sort of embittered, resting face, and I think, I can't wait to put a smile across that. And I'll just walk over to him and just, you know, either tickle him or crack a joke. Sometimes, actually, I make him look even worse with the jokes I say, but it is a blessed feeling.
The tickling is, it's not okay. But, anyway, this face thing.
Yeah.
It came up for me actually yesterday because I did Saturday Night Takeaway yesterday, right?
You've mentioned that four times now.
Have I really?
No, I get it. You're showing off your baggage.
No. So I did. So last night there was a bit where, so you know, guest announcer, you don't do anything.
Yeah. Right?
But there's one bit where they're doing something and they said, "I'm going to be in shot," right? But not, I'm not doing anything, but I am in shot. And me being in shot when I wasn't doing anything was a fucking big problem for the show last night. Because
really,
not in the actual show, because they had to, because we did a rehearsal. But like that, like I basically look like I don't give a, like when I'm stood just watching something, I just look like I, not only that I didn't give a fuck, I was utterly miserable about it. It's the same thing like when I went to watch Walshy doing Strictly, and there's a bit where one of the dancers came like right in front of me. And so the spotlight, you know, the light that's on them just hits you because you're sat in the front row.
Yeah.
The number of tweets I got saying Ramesh Ranganathan looking like he would rather fucking chop his own dick off than be sat watching Strictly tonight. And I was just engaged in what I was watching. You know, it was like I just didn't happen to be smiling or whatever.
But I think with you, though, people know that's the thing. If it was me genuinely looking at that,
yeah,
they'd know it was, something's wrong.
Mm, mm.
What's your thinking face? Have you got like a stupid face when you're thinking?
I'll do it there.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's quite, yeah. It's quite, yeah. It's not really, you look intelligent all the time. That's the thing. It's very misleading.
You think so?
Sometimes, yeah.
I think that might be racist.
No, but you do. What? Saying you look intelligent?
Well, I think you're just assuming that because I'm brown and I've got glasses on that I must be thinking about.
No, but also you've got like you always look like you know what's going on in your eyes and your mouth.
Really?
You don't ever, yeah. I've never looked at you in all of our years of friendship and gone, oh, he hasn't got a grasp of this situation. He knows exactly, you know exactly what's going on.
No, you need to spend more time when I'm around Lisa.
You look, I think this is the highest compliment I could pay another human being. You remind me of Hannibal from the A-Team a lot of the time.
That's the highest compliment you can pay any human being.
One of them.
That I remind you of possibly the most lackluster member of the A-Team.
No, he's the clever one. He comes up with the plans.
Hannibal is the worst member of the A-Team by a long stretch.
He's the clever, sensible one.
By a long stretch.
He's the clever, sensible one.
Yeah, he has to come up with plans because there's nothing else that fucking earns him the position of being in that fucking
Mate,
show.
Look, I'm saying.
And who are you?
If you say you're
a merge of fucking Murdoch and Face.
No, I'd never say that. I'd probably be a cross between Murdoch and BA.
Okay.
I'd say.
It's so funny to see how you see yourself, how you see me. It's really, no, because you do a lot of this, you know, let's be absolutely honest, you do a lot of this bullshit complimenting, right?
No, that's a fucking, right, no, everyone, no, listen, guys, no, hold get on, up the no. podcast, because I think Hannibal is an amazing guy.
Do not hit up the podcast, okay, on this, please. Do not hit up the podcast. What I'm going to say to you is this. You say a lot of compliments, like, you know, sweet, sweet soul, and I love you for that, and blah, blah, and then you say something where you compare us to stuff, and that's when I finally get the real idea of what you think about us.
If I was, you know what, I think Face is the driest out of all the A-Team.
Actually, do you know what? You might be right.
I think if I compared you to Face, fair enough. Face has got nothing about him apart from his looks. If the A-Team were around now, Face would be gone. He'd be out. They'd have had to, he is exactly what we're talking about earlier. He's got nothing to, you know, he's got no street smarts.
You're right. What did you think of the film remake of the A-Team, by the way?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I thought Bradley Cooper was actually Bradley Cooper made a better face. He had more about him.
Yeah.
You know what? We should remake the A-Team, but mix it up.
Mix it up.
I'll be BA.
Okay. In 2021, the idea that you're going to play BA in our remake of the A-Team.
You'd be Hannibal.
Yeah, that's the thing. Me being Hannibal would be seen as a super woke move, and it's great, and there'd be some uproar on Twitter. You being BA would get both you and me cancelled.
Right, okay, well, I'd have to be Murdoch then.
You can't be Murdoch.
Why?
You just can't be, I'm sorry, but you cannot be Murdoch. I can't be Hannibal.
It would be a fucking dire, fucking sad state of affairs if we fucking somehow got a remake of the A-Team where we're both fucking not even casting it.
That's
a pair of fucking essays.
That's the level we're at. We managed to get this film away against all odds. They fucking managed to get away a British remake of the 80s.
And neither of them.
This is how fucking dedicated these guys. But they're not in it because, you know, why would you put them in it?
A pair of losers.
Anyway, in answer to your question, Dougal, it has affected both our lives. But, you know, what I would say to you is...
Just quickly on that, do you know my writing face? I'll put my, stick my tongue out when I write.
Yeah. You don't do that the whole time you write.
Yeah, right.
You can't even keep it up for your little fucking 30-second act out.
No, right, if I'm writing.
No, but Tom, the thing is, this is a totally pointless example because you're going, I stick my tongue out when I write, and then I go, oh, okay, and I don't believe you. And you go, yeah, no, watch. And then you don't write and stick your tongue out. I mean, the debate isn't about whether you can stick your tongue out or not.
There he is, old mud rope. Riding up my ass like a thumb. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, okay. Now, listen, we're coming to the end of this episode. I would say, look, we've done both the main and the bonus now. Yeah. In quick succession. Which one do you think's better?
I enjoyed them both. Actually, the bonus one was my favourite one this week.
Me too.
I enjoyed it.
I'll tell you what. Well, actually, do you know what? I'm going to say, for the first time probably since we started doing this, the bonus and the main have got very different feels to them.
Yeah.
So the bonus, the main one was a lot of kind of anecdotes and meandering chat, whereas this one was a bit more kind of...
Yeah.
Well, it's,
and also,
know,
this
sparkier,
one, the most exciting thing to announce is the big running race. So
are we definitely? I'll be honest with you. My ass has gone a bit on that,
mate. If your ass goes, then you have to fucking do a forfeit.
Like what?
I'm sure I can think of something.
Okay. I'll be honest with you. The way you sort of said that, it was like you're going to organise a prison rape.
No, I'm sure I can think of something. Okay. So everyone, guys, get in touch with the Wolf and Owl Pod at Gmail. So, firstly, who do you think will run the winning run? Who do you think will win the running race between me and Romesh? That's the big one. But also, if Romesh blouses out because he's too scared, what should his forfeit be?
Okay, great. I'm actually in favour of that because you haven't said, could you please respond in a pictorial form of what you think that forfeit?
Well, you know,
be.
You they haven't got right. They can send pictures and stuff of what you've got to do.
Okay. I'm pretty sure pictorial's not a word. I think it might be pictorial.
You're talking to the wrong person there.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We love you.
Namaste.
We'll see you again on... we won't see you. We'll hear from you again on... No, we won't hear from you. You'll hear from us again.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me. Goodbye. If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.